The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Pro Football Focus did their quarterback rankings for the year.
The final list is out?
Indeed.
I've been waiting for this.
Well, would you care to guess where Deshaun Watson landed on their list?
Regular season list?
Regular season.
I would guess he's near the bottom of the top 10.
How near to the bottom of the top 10?
Let's go ninth.
Ninth would be absolutely 100% correct.
Dang, that's pretty good.
Yeah. I like the Chiefs. That's my play. I'm not going to go crazy with it because I could see a scenario where the 49ers get out to a lead and then just keep running the ball. I mean, assuming Kyle Shanahan's going to keep running the ball.
Right.
Which, yeah, there's a history there.
Yeah, he's failed before in that seemingly simple thing.
Yeah, but I feel like the Chiefs' defense doesn't get enough credit for how well they played over the second half of the season, and I think they'll keep the 49ers from running and then make Jimmy Garoppolo beat them.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real. At Aaron is Blitzed. At Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. You missed the first 2 hours. Some of what you missed, very sportsy, except for pig bungee jumping there at the end, which, you know, apparently no one will believe that any animal is worse than a human being. Even, okay. Human beings suck. There's no question. You can get all that on Podcast Arena. And then this hour, we've got a couple of things for you, starting with, and hopefully the overtime will end about the time this interview ends, so you know you can actually pay attention to what's going on there. But Cody and Jake, Cody Stutz, Jake Asman for SB Nation Radio, got a really good interview. It's available on SportsMap, but we also thought it'd be kind of cool to play it for you. He got DeAndre Hopkins. They got DeAndre Hopkins and his mother. And they got some really good stuff out of him. So think we're going to go ahead and play it. All right, we're ready. Let's play that interview.
Jake Asman, Cody Stutz with you here live from Radio Row in Miami. And now joining us here at our set, I would argue, I'm a little biased, I live in Houston, but the guy next to me here is the best wide receiver in the National Football League. DeAndre Hopkins is with us, and his mom, Sabrina Green-Lee, kind enough to join us here in Miami. Hop, Sabrina, thanks so much for your time.
Oh, no problem.
Thank you for having us.
It's a pleasure.
So obviously, Hop, a lot of people in Houston may or may not know the story of your relationship with you and your mom and the film that's currently being made right now about your mom. Let's start with that. How much does that mean to you, and what can you tell the listeners about what this film is going to be all about?
Oh, man. You know, I think this, you know, a lot of people in Houston are somewhat familiar with this story, but for the people that aren't, you know, my mom overcame a lot, you know, of a domestic violence situation early in her life, and, you know, left her, obviously, you know, legally blind. So, you know, this movie right here is about, you know, triumph, but I'll let her speak on that. But I'm excited, man, to, you know, to support and, you know, any way I can, man, but it's all about her.
Ms. Greenlee, tell us a little bit about the movie and how that process has been, and I'm sure there's writers and directors and, you know, research that they want to do and they want to talk to you, but tell us a little bit about the process of the movie.
Oh, absolutely. It's been a long process, but that's the life process. Actually, this part is easy. I have some amazing, amazing script writers, director, and Brun Studios has been amazing with just capturing the creativity of the movie, getting everything out there. It's going to be a depiction of my life, everything that I went through raising my children, starting around from the age of 10. They're going to go in chronological order, and so you'll get to see everything as it evolves, and just coming from just the beginning, the depression, the sexual assault, losing two brothers, losing a fiance, everything, all of these things. And so, and to wrap it up and then just to come, you know, come full circle and to show the people, you know, that there is triumph over tragedy.
And we're doing this in just one movie? I mean, this sounds like
one movie.
Why? We got a lot to get into one movie.
The film is currently in development.
Yes.
It is set to go into production later this year. Expected to be released in 2021.
Yes.
So obviously, it's being put together. I'm sure that's really exciting. But for you, DeAndre, I mean, and we've spoken to you a lot, but for those who maybe aren't privy to those conversations, you've spoken a lot about how much your mom has meant to you and, you know, what she has had to overcome to give you the opportunity to go to Clemson and to be in the NFL. When you think back, I mean, how much has that meant to you over the years?
Oh, man, it's been the world to me. My mom is obviously, you know, I joke and say my father and my mom. You know, but also I have, you know, three other siblings that she raised. And all of us are, you know, tight. You couldn't tell us apart.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think all throughout this journey, we've all leaned on each other and supported each other. Not just me playing football, but my older sister playing basketball, and my other sister playing basketball. You know, and you know, it's a family thing, man. It's not just all about me, but you know, we enjoy each other and we enjoy each other's downfalls and each other's success. You know, but my mom has been the world to not just me, but my family also, and you know. Her waking up every day and being courageous enough to come out here and talk to you guys, obviously, you know, gives us strength.
DeAndre mentioned it. You've told the story a few times now.
Yeah.
Does it ever get any easier to tell the story? Sometimes it harder than other times? It's amazing the strength that you display to share that with us so many times.
I found that the more that I tell it, the more that I'm healed, the more that I'm open. Just being able to create an open dialogue to people is courageous in itself. But there are no times now that I'm fearful or it's just scary or I don't want to talk about it. I'm actually willing and loving to talk about it more because I know that the more that I talk about it, the more people are being healed.
Talking with DeAndre Hopkins here, of course, of the Houston Texans, and his mother, Sabrina Green-Lee, who, of course, is going to be featured in the film Sabrina coming out in 2021. It is set to go in production later this year. I mean, how about this week for you, DeAndre? Obviously, I'm sure you'd love to be playing in this game right now, and I hate to go with what happened in Kansas City, but we got to start there because that's the most recent time we saw you on the field.
Yeah, man.
Kind of when you think back on that game, you know, what obviously stands out to you?
Well, are you better? Because you played through an injury yet again in the playoffs because you're the toughest wide receiver in the NFL.
Shoulder, right?
Rib
this time, yeah.
Rib and finger. Yeah, man, it's football. I knew, you know, obviously going out there playing, being injured, you know, it didn't matter to me. We had a lot to fight for. I'm pretty sure a lot of my other teammates were banged up also. But it was a tough game. Really don't want to relive it too much, obviously. you know, but Kansas City is a great team. You can't take anything away from those guys. You know, they beat us out fair and square. Obviously, a great comeback by Patrick Mahomes and those guys. But, you know, pulling for them. Sammy Watkins was a fellow teammate of mine at Clemson University.
Sure, wide receiver
also,
you.
Yeah, also like family to me. So, you know, I'm happy for them.
Up 24-0. Did you guys think you were going to the AFC title game? But where did the game change from standpoint?
No question. Up 24-0. You know, there's no question in your head that we're going to the AFC title game. But obviously, us beating ourselves, making mistakes, turnover, you know, just little critical mistakes. But I think everyone went out there and played hard, man. You know, I don't think anyone really has too many regrets, so I think that's all that matters.
Ms. Greenlee, talking to your son, do you get the sense that they're close to something in Houston, that they're putting something together that could be special on the field?
Oh, absolutely. I believe it. We had it in the bag almost this year, but yeah, definitely. They're a force to be reckoned with. I'm excited to see what's going to happen next year.
Mm-hmm. DeAndre Hopkins with us here, of course, his mother as well, Sabrina Green-Lee. So, looking ahead now at you guys moving forward, Deshaun's entering year four. You got for the first time in your career, you have played with now a franchise quarterback that you know is going to be slinging you the rock moving forward.
Yep.
How much better can he still get though as he continues to make his way, you know, through the NFL season after season?
Oh, that's what I love about Deshaun. He never feels like he's arrived. He still wants to get better. Little things, even if it's faking a handoff or, you know, just little stuff like that you wouldn't think, you know, a quarterback is hard on himself. But Deshaun, I think he's his biggest critic, man. I don't expect him to feel like, you know, all right, we had a good year, you know, let me not work on it. You know, that's not Deshaun at all. He's a hard worker. I know he's going to come out next year and demand the most from us. his teammates and also himself.
Mm-hmm.
DeAndre, you got the title of the toughest wide receiver in the NFL, the best wide receiver in the NFL. Your head coach has a new title now.
Oh,
general
yeah.
manager as well.
Correct.
Bill's got a lot on his plate now.
Yeah, man.
I mean, have you noticed anything that, you know, with him sort of splitting the duties and having a lot on his plate now, have you noticed anything about, you know, maybe how hard or how seamless Bill's been able to do that?
You know, it's not easy, man. I'm pretty sure he has a lot on his plate, but he handles it pretty well. Being able to go out there and still, you know, coach a team mm-hmm. at a competitive level the way we did and compete for, you know, almost a title, man. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not easy. He's human, but he does a great job of handling it very well.
Is there a chance that because he's so close to you guys, he maybe would know more than, you know, because he's in there calling the plays. He knows what route you're running and everything. Is there a chance he could be maybe better at that gig than some of the other guys in the league who you know, sit in the office, sit in the box on Sundays?
You know, I'm not sure. I can't speak on that because I've never, honestly, you know, I don't know how that works upstairs, what those guys go through. I'm pretty sure other GMs are pretty knowledgeable about football. But I think it's definitely probably an advantage that he's coached before and, you know, actually, you know, been out there on the football field and, you know, knows exactly what's going on, X's and O's wise. So I'm pretty sure that helps.
DeAndre Hopkins with us here, SB Nation Radio. It's the main event, Jake Asman, Cody Stutes. You know, you look at the season you guys had, and so back-to-back trips to the playoffs. You guys have been there before, but in your mind, what has to happen for the Texans to take that next step? Because obviously, you know, your head coach has talked about how he believes you guys are close. Do you believe you guys are close, and what is the biggest key to getting over that hump and getting to that AFC title game and then a Super Bowl?
There's no question that we're close. Obviously, you know, us being up 24 to nothing on a team that's playing for a Super Bowl, you know, I don't think that's a question. But I think that, you know, everyone has to, you know, perform at their peak ability in those games. And, you know, beating ourselves will not help, you know, turnovers, you know, little things like that. But it's a players' league, players out there playing. So I think, you know, for us to, you know, get over that hump, everyone has to take accountability in their own job.
All right, one last one here for the movie. Do we have casting ideas yet? Do we know who's playing yet?
What you think, Mom?
We don't have it yet. However, I have some people that I would love to possibly, you know, look into.
Sure. This feels like a star-making performance.
So, Taraji P. Henson. Definitely. I need someone to bring the beauty and the attitude all at the same time.
Okay. Okay.
Well, I have an idea. So I'm sure you know this, DeAndre, but J.J. Watt's hosting Saturday Night Live tomorrow.
Yeah.
If he does a really good job, can J.J. get a part in the film?
Hey, man, J.J. can have any part in any film. I'm
That's
part
right.
of.
How do you think he'll do at Saturday Night Live? You think he could be funny in that type of setting?
Oh, yeah. J.J.'s a funny guy if you know him, man. He's a character.
Yeah.
You know, that fits him for sure.
Very cool. DeAndre Hopkins has been our guest, his mom as well, Sabrina Green Lee. Of course, the film is set to come out. It's called Sabrina. It's going to come out in 2021. Currently set to go in production later this year. It's an inspiring story. Cody and I live in Houston, so we are very familiar with it, but I think a national audience is going to love it as well when they learn about it. Guys, thanks so much for being here.
Oh, no
Thank
problem.
You for
My
having
pleasure.
Us.
All right, some good stuff there from those guys. Cody Stutes, Jake Asman, live from Miami. We're going to take a quick break. We come back. AJ, you have
some new rules in Hollywood, Fred.
Okay. I don't think you like these rules. I'm just guessing.
I mean, they're just making it hard.
Oh, that, you know what I'm saying? Well, isn't that what they're supposed to do? All right. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Time is precious, baby. Girl,
yes, I'm ready.
Don't you get it?
On ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. And, A.J., you're bothered by something.
Yeah, as you know, the Blitz is we're big proponents of sex scenes in movies. And SAG, listen, it's not the worst thing in the world, I guess. But the union that represents the actors and television performers has issued a series of standards and guidelines for crew members who supervise scenes involving sex and nudity. Intimacy coordinators, it's called.
Oh, boy.
Under the guidelines, intimacy coordinators should have pre-production meetings with the producers, directors, and writers to establish the exact degree of nudity expected and the specifics of simulated sex as established in the scripts. They should have one-on-one meetings with actors to be clear about what they consent to. Where this is going to become a problem is when people start doing like what Khaleesi did. And they sign on and they're the good with nude scenes and then they get famous and then they're like, I'm no longer comfortable with being nude. But that's what you signed up for. Like Game of Thrones took a big loss on that. These protocols and guidelines will help to normalize and encourage the use of intimacy coordinators in productions, therefore ensuring the safety and security of the SAG actors and actresses while they work. The guidelines say that on set, intimacy coordinators should review the so-called modesty garments and physical barriers used during simulations of on-screen sex, and be familiar with ways to help directors choreograph the scenes in ways that can keep them believable and artistic without sacrificing the dignity or safety of performers. Some of the things that it says, deviations from the standards do not carry enforcement penalties, however. They're trying to strike the right balance between describing the roles and responsibilities of intimacy coordinators while still allowing for flexibility from show to show. This is the latest move in the Me Too era in an attempt to fight sexual harassment and other sexual misconduct aimed at actors. Apparently, they include the adoption of the 2018 Code of Content, which said that, amongst other things, auditions and similar professional meetings should not be held in hotel rooms or homes, which kind of makes sense.
Yeah, that one I'm good with.
But it also says that directors may choose to opt out of sex scenes if it becomes too much of a hassle, basically. So they're like, oh, if we've got to jump through all these hoops, do we really need to do this nude scene? So now, I don't know, Fred. This is this could be a game changer.
Well, I'm kind of in the minority because I don't really...
You don't like nude scenes.
They don't do anything for me because almost... They're like car chases. It's like you put them in a movie, they don't move the plot forward, and there are certain people I like to see nude on screen, absolutely, but more often than not, it's a body double, and it's not even them. So, I mean, yeah, you can think, well, maybe that really was bald Natalie Portman, but no, it wasn't. It was
probably
somebody
wasn't.
Else. And so, I mean, for me, it doesn't do much for the plot, but, I mean, it is kind of part of... It's a pretty important part of a lot of movies.
That's what I'm saying.
And not you know, again, I can live without it, but I think in some cases, you know, that's important to the people making the movie. So, I mean, really, you're going to have a person now that's their job. The actors can't do that themselves.
Maybe I should get that job.
Really? Yeah, because you're not even going to
make sure all the nipple shields are in place.
Yeah, you're not even going to bet. At no point will you ever.
I'll just say it's good. Go for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Run it. Run it back.
Sounds good. Show more. Show more. No, I kind of feel like an actor can't say, hey, you know what? This is a little more than I want to do in this scene. You know, how can we work around that?
And then the director says, this is the script. You read this in the script. This is what it was going to be.
True.
If you sign on for a movie based on a script, there should be like, oh, I'm not comfortable doing that. There shouldn't be any of that.
Yeah, well, there are times when maybe you get into it and you're like, okay, maybe this is more intense than what was in the script.
Yeah, maybe.
And so, I mean, I think they should have the right to do that. But on the other hand, yeah, if you're signing up, you kind of know. You should know.
Yeah. Kevin. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Listen, man. Now that Tang Hong. WKPRC in Cincinnati. You remember that? I know you do, Fred. When the producer threw all the turkeys out of the helicopter and then Les Nessman or whatever his name was. He, you know, it's like, oh, the humanity of it all. I mean, that's kind of related to the pig thing. And the other thing is, what you guys were just talking about, the nudity in films.
Uh-huh.
It's like...
Are you for it or against it?
Well, I don't know, Fred. Is there any nudity in your book or your film that you're about to make? I mean, I'm just asking. I'm out.
Well, there's right. There's a ton of sex in the book. But
drink some water.
Yeah, but I'm not going to be the one directing the sex scenes. That's going to be what a director does.
Will you be in the movie nude?
No.
That's too
under,
bad.
Under no circumstances. But
that's too bad.
Yeah,
that's
the WKRP thing you talked about was one of the most famous scenes in all of television for the longest time.
Yeah.
Which it's still a classic to this day. Which, yeah, it's funny, though. I can never find WKRP. We've got all these channels and all these shows, and I never see it. I'd like to watch that again. I wouldn't mind rewatching that. I was always a Bailey guy, not a Lonnie Anderson guy.
Let's see. It says where to stream. Amazon Prime.
It's on Amazon Prime?
Yep.
Yeah, I guess I
don't get the whole season for $9.99.
See, I'm not paying for it.
Ah.
I'm already paying for Prime. Why should I pay for a series? That's another thing that I find irritating. I find that more irritating than, oh, we've got to work a little harder on our sex scenes. Ooh.
Yeah, the only place you can see it is if you pay for it now.
Yeah, screw that. I don't like it that much. The hell?
I mean, you saw it for free a long time ago. Just let the memory live on.
Well, yeah, that's fine.
It'll probably suck now.
Anyway. Yeah, I don't need to go back and pay money for that. All right. Quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN's your number. So, probably time for our final predictions on what's going to happen Sunday.
I suppose it is, Fred. I, like I said the other day, I tried every way I could, especially when I started to see money push in on the 49ers. I tried everything I could to make a case for them. And personally, I'm just not getting there. So I'm going with the Chiefs to win. I think at this point, as far as a final score or whatever, I don't know. I think if you think the 49ers are going to win, you probably like the game to be under. I personally don't. So I think it's going to be probably in the high 50s. I don't think it's going to go over by a mile, but I do think that there'll be probably 7 touchdowns scored in this game. So, add in a few field goals and who knows what kind of nonsense. And yeah, I'm going to go with the, I'll go with Chiefs in the over, which feels super square, but that's all I got.
Yeah. I got nothing on the total because, I would lean over, but I like the Chiefs a lot. And, you know, I go through and try to figure out scenarios, right? Like in what scenario do the 49ers win and what scenario do the Chiefs win? And then you kind of go through the most likely possibilities throughout the course of the game. I just don't see too many scenarios where the 49ers win this football game. I think the Chiefs are going to be able to do, they're going to be able to score on San Francisco more than most teams have. And I think the Chiefs defense is underrated. And I think they're going to stop the running game for the 49ers. And then it's going to come down to Jimmy Garoppolo having to be able to compete with Patrick Mahomes. And I just don't think that's a recipe for victory.
That's the thing is,
there's a lot of arguments to be had over who the second or third or fourth best player on the field is going to be. Far and away, the best player on the field is Patrick Mahomes.
Agreed.
And if the Niners get up 17-0, do you feel like the Chiefs are out of it?
No.
You can't possibly. So
now that
if the Chiefs get up 17-0, do you feel like the Niners are out of it?
Yeah, I do.
I do too. So that's what's making the decision for me. I mean, obviously, you know, game flow and things like that. There's just a lot more scenarios that I can play out where the Chiefs win than I can where the Niners win.
Agreed. And I also think that, you know, the way for the 49ers to win is if they do get out to a big lead early is to run the football and keep Mahomes on the sidelines. Well, that was the same thing the Titans were trying to do. Didn't really work out. And I think now the one thing I do believe the 49ers will be able to do is, you know, they're with Kittle especially, they'll be able to take advantage of Tyrann Mathieu because he'll gamble. And, you know, so I think they'll make some plays that way. I just think the Chiefs are going to make more. And I get that zone's been very effective for San Francisco, but it also is the kind of thing that Travis Kelce is so good at, just sitting in those spots in the zone. And I think he'll have a big day. I think Mahomes has a big day. And I think, you know, in the end, I mean, I'm not going to put a score on it, but I think it's a 34-21 kind of game.
And everyone says, well, maybe the Niners just come out and they don't play zone against Mahomes, which is really easy to say, but is it applicable in real life? I don't know that you can apply it, because the 49ers don't have the kind of secondary that's going to keep up with burners. You know, they don't have the guy that can go one-on-one with Tyreek Hill and, you know, feel comfortable about that. This is how they've gotten here. Are they just going to totally change their defensive stripes and suddenly they're going to start playing man, start blitzing? I don't think so. And if they can't make that adjustment, then I think they're in trouble. So
because one thing the Chiefs will do, if you give Mahomes time to sit back there, somebody will get open no matter what kind of defense you're playing.
And Mahomes can throw guys open.
Yeah, he can. He can throw it wherever he wants to throw the football, basically. So, I would be fine with either of these teams winning. Like I said, I like Kyle Shanahan. I'd like to see Andy Reid get his. I'd like Mahomes to go ahead and get his early so that, you know, he can go ahead and start sucking so the team on Kirby has a chance. But, I think this is, I think it's Chiefs year. Have a lot of friends who are Chiefs fans too, so I'm kind of rooting for them. But I think it's going to be, it's a game that I'm not going into feeling like I know what's going to happen. I just feel like I think what's going to happen, and that's the direction I'm going. So, Chiefs.
Well, we're in the same boat. Aaron, you got a side on this thing?
I'm leaning Chiefs too.
Okay,
that's it.
We're a bunch of squares.
That's all you got?
I mean, looking at the same stats that you guys have brought up all week, I don't think they're going to be able to contain Patrick Mahomes. And if you put the ball in Jimmy Garoppolo's hands, I'll tell you something that you're both going to disagree with. I'm going to throw a couple dollars down on Tyrann Mathieu as MVP. Because if Jimmy Garoppolo misses a couple throws and Mathieu comes up with a game-saving interception when it's a close game, plus 4,500, gets you a couple extra bucks. I mean, one interception can change that game. And Garoppolo's thrown two interceptions in three or four games this season already.
I will say this: the numbers on these MVPs are always, they're always kind of junk. Like that's one of the sucker props. And I've seen a bunch of people say Patrick Mahomes MVP prop. Just play the Chiefs to win the game, if that's the case. Like, if the Chiefs win, the likelihood is Patrick Mahomes will be the MVP, and you're basically paying the same price.
Right. So why mess with it?
It doesn't make sense to that. If you think something like Tyrann Mathieu, somebody like that, is going to have a big game, that's fine. But if you think Patrick Mahomes is going to be the MVP of the Super Bowl, you're probably right, but B, the value is just take the Chiefs to win, because Patrick Mahomes is like minus 115 to be the MVP. It doesn't make sense.
And the problem is the other Chiefs that I would like
related to Patrick Mahomes.
Right, Kelce or Hill. Even Hardman, I think, is kind of interesting.
Because he can have a special team score.
He might catch another touchdown pass. But if he does, if those guys have big games, Patrick Mahomes is probably having a big game too.
Yeah.
And he's probably going to be the MVP. So, I think it's, I don't want to say it's cut and dried, but I'll be betting the Chiefs. I will not be playing the total, I don't think. And I'll probably mess around with a couple props. I like the Garoppolo over on passing yards because I do think,
you think they're chasing.
I think they're going to be chasing, yeah. And he's going to have to throw the ball. And not only that, I think they're going to, the Chiefs will stop the run and he'll have to throw the ball.
Yeah.
And put it up. And so this isn't going to be one of those games like the Titans won or even the 49ers won last week where they just ran the ball all over the place. They're going to have to throw it. And so I like that total. I've kind of backed off the Patrick Mahomes rushing yards total because I think you're right. If they're just going to sit back and play zone, it doesn't create a lot of opportunities for him to take off and run. So that one I'll back off a little bit. So that's where I am. And yeah, I'm not.
You don't think it's going to be a good game?
No, I really don't. In fact, I'm going to look at some alternate lines with the Chiefs like minus 10 and minus 14 and throw a few bucks at those. So I think there's a good chance the Chiefs run away and hide here. And especially if they can get, if something happens on defense early, and we see this in the Super Bowl all the time, somebody makes a bad mistake early and then it snowballs.
Right.
I could really, if it's the 49ers that make the mistake, I'm not sure they can come back. In fact, I don't think they can come back from it. The Chiefs I've seen come back.
And we know they can do it.
Yeah. And you know, so and just everything I look at points to Kansas City.
Same boat.
So how much pregame stuff do you watch?
I don't watch any.
I don't either. I don't even, like, I'll watch.
I mean, I may watch the 5 minutes or so before the national anthem.
I try not to do that. I try to turn it on right when the national anthem ends. And because I just want to see the football.
You don't want to hear our national anthem? You don't hear the song of our country, of our land?
It's not that big a deal during a football game. I don't know why. I
mean, Demi Lovato?
Not really a fan. Hmm. I mean, I'm sure I'll watch it, but it's not like, I'm not tuning in for that. Just like I'm not tuning in for the commercials. I'm not tuning in for the 8-hour pregame show on NFL Network. I'm tuning in for the game. That's all I care about. Unless I bet on the anthem over, which I would almost always lean over.
I kind of lean under this year, actually.
Why is that?
I feel like Demi's going to get in there, get it. She's not like a, she's not a crooner. She's not, you know.
Yeah, but this is such a big deal for all of them's careers. You always drag it out.
Yeah, maybe. So,
I'm not going to, I don't know. I don't want to sit here and break down the national anthem, but I'll watch something else up until game time. I'll probably watch the Rockets a little bit, depending on what's going on with them, see how they do tonight.
I want to know how Taylor Swift hasn't done halftime of a Super Bowl yet. What are we waiting on, America?
Well, I think that's something you need to take up with the powers that be.
I think I'm going to start a petition for Taylor, Tay-Tay, to do the halftime show next year.
Well,
I get this
well,
year.
Well, didn't What's-Her-Face, who's basically the same person, already do it?
Katy Perry?
Yeah.
Not the same person. I get that they wanted to go with the Latin vibe this year. So they went with Shakira and J-Lo because it's in Miami. I get that, but where is it at next year? L.A.?
Yeah.
Let's get my girl Taylor out there.
Good luck. Yeah, that's another thing. I hate to be non-pop culture, but I just don't care at all about the halftime show unless it's somebody I like. And even then, they can't do all the songs. They can't do the songs you want to hear.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's... This is the problem with the Super Bowl. Everything has to be hyped to the max, right? I mean, because it's the Super Bowl. So the halftime show is so big. Who does a national anthem is so big. Man, the end is just a football game. And we're deciding the champion of the NFL. To me, that's what I care about. The rest of the stuff, window dressing. All right. Well, we're down to one segment.
You're such an old.
You think?
Yeah.
Is that an old thing, or is that maybe just?
I mean, I
ain't got time for that.
I don't always care about the halftime show. Like I'm I don't really care. I'm not a commercials guy. Like the worst radio the day after the Super Bowl is, what were your favorite commercials of the day? Like, it's okay to be like, oh, this was a funny commercial or whatever. But there's people who like take notes on the commercials. Yeah, I think that's weird.
I agree, and especially now that most of them, people already seen streaming.
Yeah,
so. All right, one last segment left in the week. Don't go anywhere. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
your clock and grab your jock.
This is The Blitz on ESPN. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Late hits, Patrick Creighton, Jason Braddock coming up next. So stick around for that. It's not over yet. It's just when everybody else is going to bed, Patrick Creighton and Jason Braddock come into your room.
That's right.
So we said,
sounds really terrifying.
Yeah, well, it is terrifying, but you know, they're there. That's what they do. Did you guys hear Lance almost give John a heart attack this morning? It was freaking hilarious from Degenerate for Life. I didn't. Did he like tell John that Brent Stroman retired or something? Yeah. And John bought it.
Yeah. Raheel also said if it weren't for the Alamo, we wouldn't have our freedom right now. We would be under Mexican rule, forgetting completely that we lost the Alamo.
Mm. God, by the education system today.
Shame.
I mean, there's literally a saying, so you'll remember the Alamo, and you guys are forgetting it.
You may want to live in Mexico if things keep going the way they're going here. All right, let's do stupid stuff.
Yeah. Stupid stuff.
We've said
this week.
And so he's supposed to send me a Chelsea kit, and I'm going to send him a Deshaun Watson jersey because he fell in love with Deshaun at the game.
I hooked up with a girl named Chelsea once, so maybe I would cheer for them too. But I also hooked up with a girl named Liverpool, so. Mm.
Well, I hooked up with a man, so that kind of eliminates Man U and Man City, right? Especially if you're going to throw out a word like rape. Rape is a very pejorative word, but.
What does that word mean?
What do you mean?
Pejorative?
Yeah.
What's that?
God, do I have to explain things to you,
too? I mean, usually I'm pretty decent with words, but that one...
Well, the Guinness there didn't suck in England. Eric and I were talking about this beforehand. It's like, I got to try it there because everybody says it's great there. Here it tastes like motor oil and in bad motor oil, like the stuff you wouldn't put in your car.
Like used motor oil?
Yeah, like used motor oil that somebody peed in. And then...
Who pees in motor oil?
People who do that.
What a weird thought process to be like, you know what? I've really got to pee. Where can I pee? Oh, here's some motor oil. I don't believe that's ever happened.
It always sucks when people die. Unfortunately, we're all heading that direction. You know, this, you know.
Well, you especially.
A32 says, I heard that if you play the Gym of the Day song backwards, there is a satanic message.
Yes, this is my major illusion.
It sounded like yes damnation to me. Didn't it?
Yeah.
Didn't it? Wow. Now you've released demons to the listener.
That was an accident.
Oh, how dare you, sir.
I didn't do it. You're the one who said play it.
No, he did it.
Yes, damnation state. Yes, damnation.
Damnation state.
Yeah.
Which roughly...
Damnationing. I think it's Yiddish.
Texter says, Courtney spelled with a K screams dancer or nude model.
Courtney spelled K-O-U-R-T-N-E-I.
Ugh.
She's for sure a friend slash whore.
Yeah. Yeah.
But former friend slash whore.
Right. Former friend. Not necessarily former whore, just former friend.
Right. Do you think we can do Clint Sterner
doing ASMR?
ASMR?
Dude, get out of my head.
Hey, man. What y'all think about this Texans Iron Man? I think there's some damn geniuses down there on Kirby. I mean, Bill O'Brien's proven. He's a proven winner, man. If I ever told y'all I played for the Dallas Cowboys, America's team, I know what it takes to win. Bill O'Brien's the answer.
Yeah. Stupid stuff we've said this week.
Fun week, as
Good
always.
Good times.
Well, we'll do it again next week, but first... We're going to have a weekend. How about that? Hope everybody enjoys it, man. Hope you all have a great time, man. Aaron, great job. You did well today. You were almost average, so I'm going to give you an A+. Hoffman gets an A+. I was pretty good today, too, for me.
Yeah?
I may even go B- today.
Hey!
Might even go B-.
Hey, so, good luck with the Super Bowl this week.
Yeah,
come back with some dough.
Yeah, that's the plan. Stick around. Late Hits up next. You already got Trey in there warming up in the bullpen. He'll be running the show. Creighton, Braddock, they'll be here creeping you out. Till Monday, stay sportsy, bitches.